you saw the poster I posted yesterday on the church webpage. But the title of the sermon is From Dust to Dust. And this sermon was birthed Sunday while I sat and listened to Nikki preach. So that is iron sharpening iron. God spoke to me the beginning of this sermon. And it's funny, He doesn't give it to you all at one time. He just gives you bits and pieces all through the week. And even as I'm standing here today, about ready to take the podium, words are flowing into my heart. And I'm thankful that God still speaks to me. And if you listen, He's still speaking to you. We are but dust. If you look at Genesis 2 and 7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." Some versions will say a living soul. And that is where we get our soul from. The breath of God came into man. And from here on out, we are different from the animals, the plants, and all that He formed, because we are living beings, living souls. Living souls. If you go over to the next chapter, Genesis 3 and 19. And this is where the fall happened. This is God in the garden. He's realized that Adam and Eve had been disobedient and ate from the fruit of the tree of life. And He's talking about that. And in verse 19, it says, "In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you shall return." Kind of disheartening, isn't it, to think that we're just dust. What you see is just dust. I can dress it up, change the hairstyle, put some different colors on, put a little makeup on, wash my hair, do whatever we do, clothe it appropriately, but I'm just dust. I'm just dust that will one day return to dust. What you see, anyway. Ecclesiastes 12 and 7 tells you a little something about what happens when our time has come. Ecclesiastes 12 and 7. "Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the Spirit," now notice that is not capitalized, that is not talking of the Holy Spirit, but it is talking about the Spirit that lives within you and me as children of God, "will return to God who gave it." And if you want to read that whole chapter, I recommend it. It gives you some great insights. But today I want to talk about your time in between dust to dust. Your time in between dust to dust. 2 Corinthians 4 and 7 says, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels." And it's talking about the power of God. The ability to do what we need to do in the strength of the Holy Spirit that God has given us. Let's read that. 2 Corinthians 4. And it talks about being the light of Christ's gospel. Another great chapter to read if you're confused about what you need to do. Talks about being cast down but unconquered. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are struck down, but not destroyed. Always, always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may be manifest in our bodies. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may also be manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you." talk and think about the flesh, dealing with my flesh, dealing with Sonia's isms, Sonia's perplexity, Sonia's persecution, Sonia's despair, Sonia's being crushed and pressed on every side, even if it comes from the external, the enemy, or from within. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. And I don't know about you, but a treasure is something that you need to share. Something that you want people to see and enjoy. It doesn't do you much good to have a treasure and then dig a hole and put it in the earth and hide it from everyone, does it? No, that is something that you want to bless other people with. So, in my studies this week, I've been listening to Derek Prince. He's a very good teacher. If you ever get the chance to listen to his sermons, he's been gone. He's been gone to the Lord for 20, 30 years maybe. I mean, it's been a while. But the truth of the gospel resides in his teaching. Very spiritual. This is a man who stands in the pulpit and rebuked demons, and you could hear them screaming out in the audience, having to flee. He didn't even break a sweat. That's power. That is power. This is a man who came and people who had legs that were uneven, he saw the power of God because of the measure of faith that he had, saw that corrected. That's power. And it wasn't in himself. He never took any credit. He knew where it came from. Listen to him. But I've been listening to his judgments. His judgments. Do you know, as a Christian, you will be judged? Now, you're not going to be judged as far as condemnation, as far as Christ, where you're covered under the blood, if you are a true believing disciple of Christ. Doesn't mean you're going to be perfect, but you're going to be judged nonetheless. It's called judgment seat of Christ. Got judgment seat of God. You can look it up in the scriptures. Let me read a couple of places for you. 1 Peter 1:17. So you want to know your purpose. And we say this all the time. There's purpose in your pain. And you're going through is going to bless someone else. Well, that's what it's all about. Sometimes the pain is of your own self, living in your own self. And sometimes the pain is the enemy bringing against you. Discerning the difference and knowing how to stand in that battle is what it's all about. New Living Translation, 1 Peter 1:17. And remember that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray. Now, Peter is writing to the saints, to the Christians. Has no favorites. He will judge or reward you according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of him during your time here as temporary residents. I love that translation. It makes it so plain. As temporary residents. Dust, dust. What you see is temporary. What you see is temporary, but we are sowing seed now for the eternal. And I do believe that the harvest is within reach. It's within my lifetime, the harvest that Jesus talked about. But he says the laborers are few. And this is where we fail as Christians. We fail to labor. We fail to do God's will. And I'm not talking about in your own life. You labor, of course, every day. But are you sowing into a harvest that you can reap eternally? This is biblical. It's your time, your attention, your money. God says, I am a good and jealous God. I am a terrible God. Do not think that you will not be judged for what you do. The Bible says we will even be judged for every idle word that's spoken out of our mouth. We are no exception. As a matter of fact, when you read in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, judgment begins at the house of God. it always begins with us. And the scripture says, if it begins with us, how are those outside are going to be able to stand? How will they be able to stand? So don't think your life has no meaning. Dust to dust. The Bible says it is appointed once for man to die, and then the judgment. You will not be reincarnated. You will not be a spirit running around here trying to haunt somebody, even though there's a few I thought I'd like to. Baby, when it's over, it's over. It's judgment. Judgment. Revelations 20. Revelations, I won't even say I understand all of it. I would be telling you a lie, unless God gave me that wisdom. But some of it does make sense, and a lot of it doesn't. I'm sure there's some great teaching on it. I've read it through many times, but a few times, and I'm like, woo. All right, Revelations 20, 11. And I saw a great white throne, and the one sitting on it, the earth, the sky fled from his presence, but they found no place to hide. I saw the dead, both great and small. It don't matter what you are in this life, whether you're the president, the general, the CEO, the janitor, ain't nothing going to make a difference come that day. Nothing's going to make a difference. I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne, and the books were opened, more than one, including the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. Judgment. Judgment. According to what you had done. The book of life, as a Christian, I have the blood of Jesus applied to my life. One scripture it says, he separates us from the goats from the sheep. Those are the Christians and the non-Christians. There is no in-between. I'm a pretty good person. I occasionally go to church. I don't cuss, I don't drink, I don't smoke. No, baby. There is no in-between. As Derek Prince says, there's no neutrality. He said this wonderful thing. He said, the first thing that happens when the Holy Ghost comes to a church, and this is why many don't invite him there, is the first thing he does is electrify the fence, and you've got to choose a side. That's why preaching here is so hard. You've got to choose a side, because by not choosing, you have chose. You have chose. There is good and bad. You can be a Christian that comes all the time, support your ministry, support your pastor, but live like hell through the week. I'm telling you, it's either in or out. Jesus said, who is not with me is against me. Who does not gather with me scatters. The day is coming that you'll be revealed. You may get away for a while, but those who have the Spirit of God and in tune to His words, it doesn't take long to figure out who you are. You are just dust going to turn to dust. What you do in between salvation and the life that you lead determines your destiny. What's it going to be? Matthew 12 and 36. I'm backing all that I'm saying up with God's word here. So if you have a problem, as Pastor says, you take it up with him. 12 and 36. Whoop. I wrote it down wrong. Sorry. It says, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Yeah, that's probably what I meant to write down. this does talk about the judgment of the unbelievers in verse 20 through 24. And it talks about the light. 37. Verse 37. 12 and 37. Let's go over to 12. See, I'm not perfection. Oh, I wish I was. My husband likes to remind me that. The word you say will either acquit you or condemn you. Boy, have mercy. That's New Living Translation. Matthew 12 and... I was in 11, sorry. 12 and 37. That's what happens when I get on the wrong chapter. So we are required to live a holy life. And we all know that. We are in the process of being changed from glory to glory. That means I don't look at my trials and tribulations as glory, but I'm looking at it with fleshly eyes. I should have a different attitude. I taught about that not too long ago, about my trials and tribulations. And when the Holy Spirit reveals something in me that quite is not right with God. Ooh, it's depressing. Here you are thinking you're doing so good, and the Holy Spirit shows you something that was hidden in your heart. An attitude. A thought. You may not even have seen it. But He showed it to me. Oh, it's so hard. But God says, from glory to glory, girl, quit looking at it like a bad thing. I'm working this out in you so that you can be a cup that's overflowing and it will bless everybody else around you. You don't even have to be family. What a blessing it is for those of us who are in leadership here to see other people operating in God. What they're called to do. Gosh, you just don't know how it encourages you as a Christian. It should encourage you, even just as a Christian, to set other people overcoming, pressing on, persecuted, but going further. It is such an encouragement. Don't ever be ashamed of that. Because there's so many of us that need the same help. And we need to know that He's going to do it for us too. Live in a holy life. Luke 19, 11 through 27. And a lot of preachers will use this when it comes to the money. And that's probably true. I mean, that's part of our life. We're supposed to honor God with everything, aren't we? Honor even with our money. But I want to talk about it in your holy life. He said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Sounds like Christ, doesn't it? And he called his 10 servants and delivered unto them 10 pounds. And he said unto them, occupy till I come. That's a command to us. Go about your life. Be fruitful. Multiply. Educate yourself. Get great jobs. But what are you doing with all that? But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much each man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hast gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very few, very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hast gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an astute man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou doest not so. And he said unto him, out of thy own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knowest that I was an astute man, taken up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore thou gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have acquired my own with usury, another interest. And he said unto him, unto them that stood by, take from him the pound and give it to him that hath ten. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you that unto every one which hath shall be given, and for him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Sounds like a judgment seat, doesn't it? Sounds like judgment. What are you doing with what God has given you? Don't ever look at yourself and think that you don't have anything to give, to offer. He knew who you were and brought you into this world and gave you everything you need. And then he gave you the Holy Spirit, which the fruits are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, kindness, self-control. I like the last one. In the what I learned from that, and I heard Derek Prince say, he said, at least you could have done is put what I gave you into the bank and drawn some interest. Invest in a good ministry. Put your money into it. If you can't sing, you can't play an instrument, God ain't called you to preach at the podium, at least invest in it. Support it. There are many missionaries that are looking for support. Pray about it. Heck, you can support us. We're a good missionary. It is coming. Galatians 6 and 1, I don't have time to read all this. 1 through 10 talks about reaping what we have sowed. Verse 5 says, we are responsible for our own conduct. Verse 9 says, do not be weary in well-doing, for you will reap in due season. 1 Corinthians 15 and 58, if you're on my page, you saw that I posted that this morning. It said, what you do for God is not in vain. Not in vain. But you got to do it. Luke 9 and 62 talks about those who put their hand to the plow and look back. Jesus' own words said they are not fit for the kingdom of God. People, we have work to do. We have so much work to do. There is so much. I can't even turn on the news, the TV, or the Facebook. I can't pull anything up without seeing all the craziness in this world. Senselessness. People are dying around us. Violence. We lost my coworker January 6th. Domestic violence. It's everywhere. 1 Corinthians 3:10 through 15. This is why we are needed. Not only for the others, but you're going to be in judgment one day. You're going to be judged about what you did and didn't do. Your faith in God. And let me tell you, faith always produces works. Paul says, let me show you my faith by my works. My works is not going to get me in heaven. My faith in God is. But if God is in me and I have faith in Him, you should be seeing changes, little at a time. It won't happen overnight. 30 years of damage is not going to change in 1 year. But there should be progress. I shouldn't look like what I looked like last year. There should be a change. It should be apparent, even in my dress, the way I carry myself, the way I speak, my reaction or lack of reaction, my patience, my love. It should be changing and growing. This is what you're going to do come judgment in front of the judgment seat. It says, and I'm in the Amplified, according to the remarkable grace of God which was given to me to prepare me for my task, you have a purpose. You have a place. Like a skillful master builder, I laid a foundation and now another is building on it. Can you see the unity in it? God told me a long time ago that this church was His mosaic. We are all different pieces, but we fit together to make a picture of Him. Or we should. Which is Christ, Jesus Christ. Any other foundation is not a foundation. But if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work, there's their word, will be clearly shown for what it is. For the day of judgment will disclose it, because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire will test the quality and the character and the worth of each person's work. If any person's work which he has built on this foundation, that is an outcome of his effort, remains and survives this test, he will receive an reward. We talked about crowns. I haven't preached on it, taught on it, but it's there. But if any person's work is burned up by the test, which is the fire, he will suffer the loss of his reward. Yet he himself will be saved, but only as one who has barely escaped through fire. We are just dust. And we will return to dust. Are you laying up treasures in heaven? Derek Prince said in his sermon on this, said, God looks at your motive, your obedience to God, and the power that you're doing your work in. This one says the quality, the character, and the worth. Is it Christ-like? Is it selfless? Is it motivated to help others? Are you obedient to God, to His Word, to His will for your life? This is what's going to stand. Are you just laying up wood and hay for that day? Because listen, baby, that's going to burn. You're going to stand there and watch it burn. You got to be putting away some gold, some silver, something quality that stands up to the fire. And let me tell you, you're going to feel it, even here. It's going to take away from your time. It's going to take away from your sleep. It's going to take away from what you want to do. It's going to take away from your money. I ain't going to lie about it. But you know what? God gave me all that to begin with. How dare I be so arrogant to think that it is mine? In a breath, it could be gone. Life is but a vapor. Life is but a vapor. And I wrote down some of those, and I'll just spit them out at you because my time is up. Job 7:7. Remember that my life is but a breath. Job knew something about that. Psalms 39:5 says, we are but a breath. Psalms 78:39, we are but a passing breeze that does not return. I know that for a fact. Psalms 102:3, my days vanish like smoke. Psalms 144:4, man is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow. Proverbs 27:1, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. We are dust, and to dust we will return. But the soul is going to go and be judged. Where will you stand? Have you worked your whole life and watched it go up in flames? You may be saved as one that escapes the fire. But I don't know about you. I'm going to take everybody I know with me. Everybody. I want everybody to be there. Father, we give you praise, glory, and honor, and we thank you for your word today. Thank you for your love, that you give us this understanding, Father, that you give us, dare I say, this warning, Lord. The field is ready. The harvest is ready. But the workers are few. Give us the strength, Father, to see the need, to volunteer, to give the time, and even give the money that you gave us to bless someone else, to further the kingdom. We are doing to it all, according to your word, all is supposed to be done to glorify you. Anything in our lives that doesn't glorify you, Father, will not stand come judgment day. Give us your revelation, your understanding. Let your Holy Spirit flow from breast to breast in the remainder of this service. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Electrify the fence if you have to. In Jesus' name, amen.